HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
This is Tech for Change.
All systems stand by to transmit. Now.
Hey, this is Kay, and that's how I introduce myself on my morning show at 94.3 Radio 1, which I host and produce. Welcome to my podcast. This is Tech for Change. Very often, technology is used for good things and sometimes for bad things as well. So much so that flux between the two causes people to lose faith in technology. This podcast is aimed at changing all of that. I'm going to introduce you to some wonderful people, companies, and industries who are using technology for social good, social change, and a positive impact. All of this, of course, to make this world a better place using technology. Tune in every week on hdsmartcast.com and listen to the podcast. HD Smartcast is India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Let's get straight to this week's episode. Welcome to the show. Listen, a lot of us struggle with getting around the city. In some cases, you know, it's extremely hard depending on what time of the day that you leave. If you look at it, could low-flying, compact, low-range e-planes be the future of mobility? Well, that's what we're discussing this morning on the show. Across the world, a lot of companies working on building electric planes, flying taxis to either carry goods or passengers. We've spoken about it from a commercial angle where you might have, I don't know, your parcels that you order online through e-commerce being delivered to you like that. But in India right now, could that be a possibility for other things as well? UbiFlight Technologies Private Limited, better known as the e-plane company, they're kind of looking at this sector quite a bit. It's founded in 2016 by Pranjal Mehta and, of course, Professor Satya Narayan, who's with us on the show this morning to enable that aerial delivery service. Good morning. It's good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, indeed, my pleasure.
Now, we're looking at a hybrid of drone and electric airplane technology. Let me start by asking you, with regards to long-range e-planes, like, how is that the future of mobility in your opinion?
Key thing is that we are actually doing what we call the e-plane, the electric plane. So electric plane is the one that we believe will bring down the cost of flying. Huh. But it also has a limitation in terms of range with the current batteries. So the best way to do this is to fly over cities across two points within a city. So it's really beautiful for a air taxi kind of application, given the traffic congestion that we have.
Wow. So this can actually be, so me getting to work can happen much faster than it usually does. That's amazing. Okay, cool. You're saying that this is fundamentally because of the reason of where our batteries are at this perspective, at this point in time, at least. Maybe, you know, yeah, some years it'll be different. What is the kind of range we're looking at, Professor Satyanarayan?
I think today's electric taxis probably are offering somewhere anywhere between about 30 to 200 kilometers, 200 to 300 kilometers is what we have seen across. We are targeting a 200 kilometer range in a single charge.
Right.
We don't expect anybody to travel 200 kilometers at a stretch mostly. It'll be usually about 10 to 20 kilometers.
Right.
But we won't have multiple such trips to be done.
So how would this work? I mean, I'm just looking at it. Like, I need a proper takeoff area, like a runway and stuff like that, right? I can't just do it from the balcony of my house. Is that right?
I don't know how big your balcony is, but if it is big enough, we can actually do it.
Seriously?
Right. So we don't,
okay.
Yeah, the point is we don't need a runway, right? So that's a thing. So this is a vertical takeoff and landing machine. So it's a class of vehicles called eVTOLs, E for electric and VTOL for vertical takeoff and landing.
Awesome.
So it is supposed to actually take off and land anywhere given a particular size. And it's usually about 1.5 times the size of the aircraft.
We're kind of at a place where you see a lot of this being spoken of as a proper reality for e-commerce sites and whatnot, for them to deliver their parcels and all to customers and consumers. And it's a proper reality with drones coming in and whatnot. If you could help us with where the regulations are at the moment with regards to something like this actually taking off, and I mean that from a perspective of like an e-plane bringing me from my home to work, hypothetically, what are the regulations at the moment as we speak?
The regulations actually are practically none, because helicopters actually have been around for a very long time.
Hmm.
And they have ways by which they can operate. They need to go through an ATC information process, getting a flight path clearance and all that stuff. So we adopt the same, we'll adopt the same approach to begin with. Over time, if the city skies are getting a bit more crowded, we probably will have to go for an upgrade with an autonomous ATC, which can automatically give you flight path authorization and keep track of the aircraft and make sure that there is an algorithm that ensures that collisions are avoided and stuff. To start with, we can actually do it the way helicopters do. In fact, drones require more regulations than
Right. So from a perspective of someone using this, typically, how would it work? I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not drone operated, so it's not remotely operated. So I would be driving this e-plane to work myself?
It depends on how rich you are. Okay. And
Then no chance. Then can't happen.
No. But we are actually making this happen for pretty much everyone. Our target market is people who are actually taking the Ubers and the Olas, right? So we expect that maybe to start with, it'll probably be costing you about 2 to 3 times an Ola fare for about a 10x reduction in travel time. I think that's a fairly good value for money to begin with. That's primarily to mitigate the demand, right? So because there is a certain rate of production of aircraft and putting it into the market. So until we have like sufficient number of aircraft in the market, the prices will actually be kept up to meet the demand. But progressively, we will actually be going towards the same or 1.5 times the Uber fare. Yeah.
Cool.
But that said, I think we expect that you wouldn't be led to pilot the aircraft. We will actually have pilots doing it.
Okay. So what's the typical load we're expecting this kind of thing to carry? I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, let's say I'm an extra heavy guy. Would that be a problem?
I don't think so. We will have to actually hire very slim pilots to make up for. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. I think the total carrying capacity is designed for 200 kilograms.
Oh.
So if it gets a bit heavier, then you will go a shorter distance because batteries will get consumed faster.
Right.
But 200 kilograms is for 2 seats. One of them will be occupied by a pilot and another one. And the pilot may not be carrying his or her baggage. So sure. You get like extra weight to carry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my emotional baggage does not count as... to that weight, of course. So, you know, it might be a little heavier here and there.
I don't know if we have weighty emotions.
You never know. What has it been kind of building something like this? You know, talk to me about what's kind of gone into building the entire technological interface behind the e-plane company.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a challenge because what we have done is to essentially look at what does the market need rather than just make any plane that we can. So the world over, when people are actually making the planes, they're just trying to make a plane that they can and then figuring out how to fit it into the market. And then they correspondingly change their markets and stuff. Like, for example, there are people who are just making something like drones that can carry people.
Yeah.
But they can go very short distances and then they will have to have a downtime charging every time or they have to swap batteries or whatever it is. But the other ones actually have wings, which means that they travel very fast. By the time they actually reach those speeds and decelerate back, they will actually get out of the city, which means that they're not doing an attack. So they're trying to do like a regional aviation. We had to actually marry both. So we said that let's actually have a winged aircraft that can go long distance in a single charge, but at the same time, it should also fly slow. And that's an aerospace challenge. You don't really find planes that do that. So what we did was to take advantage of the fact that we have a VTOL and see how to augment the carrying capacity of the plane. So that's there is some novelty there, which we have an IP on. Yeah.
This fascinates me that this could actually be a reality in some years. This is unbelievable. It's something that, I mean, how can I make conversation, Professor Satya? Like, tell me, why are you trying to stop me from making conversation with my colleagues talking about how horrible the traffic was today? Now I won't have that conversation anymore. You know, it's really unfortunate.
That's not true. Actually, you can have it. So the idea here is that you can actually have conversations with people almost instantly by getting there very fast.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you're actually doing this. Are you actually setting up meetings in a taxi? I don't think so.
Once in a while here and there. But right. Now I'm wondering, what do I give my boss as an excuse to be late to work? I can't, right? If this comes up, it's a big problem.
That's right.
Your
boss also comes out of excuses to show up late to meetings.
Ah, well said. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I'm just looking at the, you know, building an interface for this entire thing and the tech behind it. Because it doesn't only become you know, just the technology that is used to kind of fly in terms of the aircraft and whatnot, but also from a perspective of managing this traffic in the city that will eventually come about with regards to that. Yep. That is also a massive kind of feat as well. So are you guys delving into that, or is that not your core business and you're looking at another company to kind of come in and do logistics for the same?
Yeah, we are at the cusp of actually making the decision whether we want to jump into it ourselves or do we want to actually let another company do this. But regardless, the way I believe it is, like, we need to actually have a lot more takers. So we will have many service providers, and we will have many OEMs. So it's actually a mix. And there is also a Venn diagram of overlap between the two. So multiple possibilities exist, and we have not completely made up our minds as of this morning. Right. But that said, by this evening or tomorrow, we might.
I mean, nice.
We are almost there.
Nice to hear. There's also what I feel like a mental roadblock for people to get, or rather get used to these kind of technologies, because it's fairly new. People are worried about the concerns, the safety concerns and stuff like that. How do we typically approach something like that from your, you know, from your experience?
So unlike a lot of other sectors, aviation is actually very highly regulated. So one of the things, the reason why you are actually intuitively saying it's going to take a couple of years instead of like tomorrow, is because we do have to go through a very rigorous certification process of the plane itself, right? And that's true for any plane that's getting up there. So, I mean, do you know, for example, that kite flying is illegal because it's actually encroaching into that airspace without permissions, right? So that's exactly what it is, right? Any object that is taking off the ground, right, that is heavier than a certain like about 2 kilos, right? So if it is like greater than 2 kilos, you need to have permissions. So which means that your aircraft should be fully certified according to international standards.
Okay.
So when that happens, I mean, we don't really get to see too many aircraft accidents around the world, thankfully, right? And that's because there's like very, very stringent regulations to follow.
Right.
For the aircraft.
Right.
So we will be putting ourselves through that in the next couple of years. And that should take care of the safety concerns. Yeah.
I believe, you know, before I let you go, I want to kind of ask you about you a little bit. I believe your study on propulsion was actually one of the reasons that led to the launch of the E-Plane company. And also, I believe you're an alumnus of IIT Madras. You were previously involved in building short distance daily flying objects. But where did the interest for all of this really start for you as an individual? Personally, why did you get so interested in this, and what was the reason?
I think you were spot on by starting the way that you asked the question. So fundamentally, being a professor of aerospace engineering, majoring in propulsion, where I was in propulsion was to actually work on combustion, that is burning fuels in engines, aircraft engines and so on. But as I see the world move towards more and more electrification, electric propulsion for aircraft is an emerging topic. So I started actually studying that, going to conferences on it, and teaching up. I think I'm probably the only one who has taught a full-fledged semester-long course on this in the world in 2019. But the sector is actually going so fast that, you know, 2019 is now obsolete.
right.
So if I have to actually do this teaching again, it'll have to be a new course, right? That is actually how I started. But then we have been doing quite a few other startups, like Agnicol, for example, on rockets, and Aerostrobilos on microgas turbines. So I said, we can actually make rockets and jet engines. Why not we make planes, electric planes? Because electric planes is not that harder. VTOL is a little bit harder than just a plane. That's how I got into it.
Lovely. Sounds like such an interesting chapter in aviation for India, and I hope that it does come to fruition. But Professor Satya, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And more than anything else, I really hope that, you know, a couple of years down the line, I can say that I spoke to you at a cusp where, you know, of your business where, you know, you were making a big decision. So, I mean, this is so exciting for me personally to have a chat with you. Although I'm pretty sure that if you launch it, you might end up launching it in Madras first because of the whole IIT Madras, kind of connect for you.
I don't know where the first service is going to happen.
Bangalore, come on.
True. So Bangalore definitely has a traffic problem more when compared to Chennai. So we have to be where it belongs, right?
Correct.
It's not about.
You said it. I didn't say it. You said it. Professor Satya, thank you so much for your time. This has been amazing chatting with you, and I wish you guys all the very best. Thank you for being on this edition of Tech for Change.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this little episode of Tech for Change. You can find me, your host, Kay, on Instagram. I'm probably the most active there, @OffAirWithKay. That is Off Air With K-A-Y. I'm going to be back next week for another episode of Tech for Change. And if you'd like to give us feedback, well, you as a listener can reach out to us on @HTSmartcast on multiple platforms. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. Now, to listen to more podcasts, make sure you log on to www.htsmartcast.com. I'll see you soon. Take care.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.